Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated and let me make some few clarifications to also continue this teaching. We've been looking at the book of Daniel. We've been taking the book of Daniel from chapter 1, and now we are in chapter 9. But this chapter 9 is so deep that we have taken the fourth part of that chapter 9. It's been chapter 9a, chapter 9b, chapter 9c, chapter 9d last Sunday. And now today is chapter 9e. And still we're not going to finish that same chapter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because, and I have to, I feel led to continue because, listen, and I said some things last Sunday, and certain questions came to me by about two or three of them, that two of them begged me to answer them during the vigil. That means they may not be in Lagos here. They're outside Lagos and they want to connect. Begged me to answer. And so I decided, okay, let me just continue with that teaching and then make more clarifications. I told you that the book of Daniel is a divine agenda. In fact, from chapter 1, chapter 2, everything about the book of Daniel is God telling Daniel symbolically what he again told Apostle John in the island of Patmos. What is it? God was given the history of the world from another point in advance, prophetically. Prophecy is a history in advance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, if you are connected to this ministry, you are being connected to a move of God that very few people understand. The attraction of people to this ministry, hallelujah, is the attraction for the first time they are seeing a ministry that is a total package. Somebody wrote to me from South Africa, said that was the first, he said, this is the first time he's seen a ministry that is reflecting fivefold ministry. You have evangelists, you have pastors, and you're seeing prophets. Because most churches, it is one man ministry. And the assistant to that one man is his wife, family. And that is the pattern people see. So once they call you, the problem you have in answering your call, a pastoral call, is your wife. My wife is not following me in the vision. Because when God calls you, call your wife also. Abby? If God calls you, if he calls you, he has called your wife. Yes. Amen. He calls you and your wife is to support you. Support you from the domestic front. In the other room. And the kitchen. And the other room. According to Buhari. Praise the Lord. So when they come to this church and they don't see us with formality. You saw my friend, an Air Force general that came for my birthday here. When he came, he sat down. When I finished sermon, I went there, and he saw where I sat, and he turned and looked at me. He said, "Alu, you don't have a special seat." I said, "I don't have a special seat." He said, "God will bless you. God will bless you, brother. God will bless you." So I was going to say, he has been looking around to see where my seat is in the church. Because that's how they have been brought up. Pastors are no longer servants. Pastors are now kings and emperors. They are emirs, aces. Go and see the chairs, the seat for the seat now. Is that different from the seat of the emir of Kano and the Sokoto? There's no difference. They have become gods and subject of worship. You know there are some mommy Jews that you cannot go to meet them and you stand. Even ministers working in that ministry. You can't go and stand to talk to them. When you go, you're my mommy. You kneel down and it's worship and people don't know it. So when they come from that type of church, they come to me when I send for them. And then they come and say, "Daddy," I go laugh and say, "This one." They never deliver this one fully. And kneeling down to talk to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when you come here, many people are confused. Which kind of church be this? Instead of you to know the true church from the Bible, you are locating a true church using some standard some man has set somewhere. That's why you miss it. And that's the reason why some people come here and they cannot receive. We are trying to point you to Jesus Christ, but you are used to people being pointed. You have to point the people to the pastor. So when you come here, you are waiting to see pastor. Some will say, "No, it's pastor, you are the one I want to handle my case. So if I don't have the grace for your case, you could die for nothing." Who told you because I'm the pastor, therefore I am the highest in anointing, in gift? No. The measure of your faith is not determined by the office you occupy. I am only a general coordinator. I am a coordinator of the ministries. There are evangelists. There are prophets. When you come to me, I will direct you to the department that can handle your case. That's my work, coordinator. Amen. Anyway, that's not the area I'm going. I am just trying to let you understand that when you locate a church like this, it's God giving you opportunity to know something you cannot know when you remain in the denomination. And I'm aware that it's going to be a very tough job to redirect the people's understanding to what the true Bible Christianity is. It's going to be difficult, so difficult, because talking about faith, to point people directly to Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with Christ, is going to be so difficult in this age, because the people's faith, I told you, I met one man of God somewhere in the north there, who was, when anybody that come for counseling, go give and say, "You go and do coconut bath. You, did you bring the candle? You, did you bring the biro? You are writing, did you bring the biro? You, did you bring the oil? You, did you bring this? Did you bring the sand?" I met you, I said, "Oh, why are you deceiving the people? Why are you doing that?" When it was my turn to see him years back, I said, "Why are you doing this? Why are you pointing the people's faith to coconut and to handkerchief and to oil?" And he told me, "Look, brother, they will never believe if you not tell them to hold something. He said they will never believe if you not tell them to hold something. So that they will have faith. That is why he said, may they do coconut. So that they will have faith. That's why he said, may they hold candle. He said, if you just lay and pray for them, go. He said, they will not believe. So it's going to be very, very difficult. Very, very, even prayer. Unless, if look at the churches where the prayer, even that mountain where they go, people fool there. Why people fool there? Certain churches that they call, they say prayer churches. Why? If it is prayer or fall down and die. Anybody that say, I'm not going to make it this year. What are you waiting for? Oh, yeah, no. If I call that type of prayer point, all of you here will enter spirit. And you know that that is not a scriptural prayer. Oh, sorry. You don't know that it is not a scriptural prayer. You don't know. If you know, you won't do it. And because it's not a scriptural prayer, it has no result. If there is result, listen. If there is result, we have some sicknesses. You go and meet some doctors. The treatment they give you, the drug they give you is symptomatic treatment. Just the symptoms. Panadol, I hope you know they cure anything. If you have headache and you take Panadol, it is only to stop the headache, but the cause of the headache, you know, they can come on. So everybody knows a headache, not even be the sickness. Headache now evidence that something is wrong or somewhere. Fever, not be sickness. Fever is something is wrong somewhere in the body. So the body is reacting. Then they will go tell the body, no react. You hear? No react. So how long Panadol they work for that fever? Maximum 4 hours. When you finish, the thing come even stronger than before. You are shaking again. Then you go and take another one again. It will come again. You will fall down and die. Fall down and die. Fall down. You do three days fasting. What are you praying? Fall down and die. When you come back small, there's about 4 days peace around you. And you think, say, the solution don't solve. The solution is not gone. There is a scriptural solution. And as Christians, if you don't do things according to the scripture, you will only be treating symptoms. You will not be treating the root of the matter. You never achieve peace. For instance, let me use one example. You never achieve peace by every day having night vigil. God did not ordain us to be having vigil every night. God gave us the night to sleep. If you are not able to sleep because of problem, hallelujah, something is wrong. That is not what God has ordained. And God did not ordain us to that we will receive something from Him by prayer, by fasting. You don't fast before you go and meet your earthly father to receive anything. Why will our heavenly father, before any good thing come, you must enter fast? Something is wrong. My Bible tells me to sleep cooler. Amen. He said, if a man's way pleases the Lord, I'm using as an example. If a man's ways please the Lord, what will happen? What will happen? It will make you to be at peace with all evil, all the witches in that area. If everybody hates you, no peace anywhere. The only time that you think you have secured is by living one can try fasting. Oh, so they also don't come. What they happen? Everybody, they hate me. Now, which is who my family? Everywhere for my work, they hate me. Enemies here. You can't even go home. You can't even drink water at home. You can't sleep in your village. You can't go. It is because your life is not yet pleasing before God. The solution is not try fasting. The solution is not every night vigil. The solution is look inward. What am I doing that is not pleasing before my God? Settle yourself with God He will settle every problem around you. But not too many people know that. I'm using it as an example. I am just using that as an example. And in so many other areas of our faith. So many other areas of our faith. So, when you come here like this, we try to show you the Bible way. It's difficult to get your attention. I call prayer point now. Pray, speak. Use the power of the tongue, speak. Then some will stand and be looking at me. But those same people, if I say, do you want your breakthrough this week by next Friday? Stand up with 10,000 naira and touch my shoe. They are the ones that will run with even 20,000 to touch the left and the right one together. Somebody here, no more bondage. It's a bondage of ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When you come to salvation, this one that they are telling us, Pastor Moses, what is it you criticize? Tomorrow, why are you calling them? Don't preach salvation. Don't preach salvation. I ask, do you know the meaning of salvation? Do you know the meaning of redemption? Salvation is God's plan to redeem fallen man that fell from the Garden of Eden till now. Immediately God saw that man fell, another agenda, an agenda for restoration began. The whole world now, we are under a program of God for restoration back to what he intended it to be in the Garden of Eden. Don't lose sight of that. God is in the business of restoration. The process is what produced Christ on the cross of Calvary. And it is there in the scriptures in types and shadows to make us understand this plan. And it's important you understand this plan. If not, you will just be a religious person. That's all. That's all. Religion. A Muslim man, young man, very dedicated Muslim, came to me to visit me some years back in my office. And I used that opportunity. And by the time I opened the scriptures and I showed him, because they believe the Bible up till Abraham. They believe Abraham had Ishmael and Isaac. And I showed him the story in the Bible, and he saw where Ishmael went, and from Ishmael, Islamic religion came forth. And they saw where Isaac went, and through Isaac, Christ came up, and salvation and things like that concerning salvation. He saw it. He said, I never understood it this way before. He said, can you give me a Bible? Quickly, I gave him a Bible. He came 1 week after. He said, it is clear. He said, it is clear. And asked me to take him to water for baptism. Hallelujah. He gave his life to Christ. As he was coming out of the water, he received the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And God began to use him in the area of prophecy. Now, why I'm saying so is, he was not in that religion going, oh, I knew nothing beyond that. The same thing with Christians. Many of us, you go to church, I'm a Christian. I know nothing beyond that. If you will know anything at all, it's that you now know how to go for deliverance. And even the deliverance, you don't even know how to have a true deliverance. And many of us go for deliverance, you think it's to go, they said that deliverance minister be that. You go for deliverance. And the minister who is as blind, even more blind than you, immediately you come. The next he tell you, start dry fasting. Start dry fasting. Deliverance from what? Amen. Deliverance from what? How will somebody receive deliverance? Deliverance from what? Won't you find out? What are you to be delivered from? How did you get into that bondage? And what is the scriptural solution for deliverance? Won't you find that out in Jesus' name? Then they bind you. If you don't fall, they kick you. You must fall. They bend your neck, push you. When you turn, your eye turn tired, you fall down, they say it is over. Meanwhile, your eye, they turn you, when they turn, you finish. How you go tell somebody, 3 days, 3 nights, no food, no water. They come for deliverance. You touch and they turn and turn and turn. Will it be long before you fall down? Where the energy again? Here they turn from hunger. You can't turn them again, jam on top. When you fall down, finish. Then maybe they vomit. Then you go to say, now if person eye they turn and turn, you go vomit. Then they say, now the thing where they worry with that, you don't come out. Nothing. That is not deliverance. Anything. Now just my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because my Bible tells me that the accuser of the brethren is overcome by what? By the blood of the Lamb. The accuser of the brethren is accused by the blood of the Lamb. The fight, our victory is in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood that speaks for us. For we come before the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. People don't know it. See, I am a deliverance minister. Amen. I am given power to bind and to loose. I am given power to cast out. But I know better, hallelujah, that I cannot cast you a demon out of your life and it will go if you are not under the blood. Shout. You are shouting empty shout. Oh God, minister. Empty shout. Take it while you fall down. Waiting. Now something push you. But that will never deliver you. One sissy. But something push you. I didn't say something no push you. If something no push you, why you fall down? Take it. Now that thing when they throw in, I hit you. You fall down. Jakarta. Then they say, take it. It's over. Go and testify. It's over. God will open your eyes to understand how to walk with Him. Salvation is God's agenda. And He moves from one place to another. And when He came to the New Testament, that crowns up His agenda. He started with the law for the Jews. In His own wisdom, He chose Abraham, chose a race, and began to continue the process of that redemption plan. It was a juncture of time that produced the old covenant. And it is that agenda, hallelujah, that produced the tribe of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, that we are foreshadowing the church of Jesus Christ, the coming new covenant, that will round up the problem, the round up the agenda. The first covenant was with the Jews only. But He has an agenda for the whole world. Hallelujah. He had an agenda for the whole world. And so in Daniel chapter 9 from verse 24, He came to give an agenda to
a divine agenda to Daniel. A period that is set aside that will span 400 and what? How many years? 490 years, correct? How many years? 70 times 7 is what? Is to span a period of 490 years. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Which rock? The revelation of who Jesus is, the knowledge of who Jesus is, will produce the type of faith you will have that the gates of hell can never stop you. Like Apostle Paul, what will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? There is a revelation he caught of God's love that is projected to him through Jesus Christ. And when he catch that revelation, you serve God for better, for worse. And so when you see two Christians, one is jumping up, even despite all the trials and temptation, he's still praising God. And another one small trial that comes, he's already saying, do you think this God is there? Is he still answering people? Why is he saying so? It is out of the level of understanding of who Jesus is. Yes, now, this thing I am preaching is the thing that people are hearing from all over the world. Young girls have stopped wearing a ring. Christian young girls have stopped wearing trousers. It is revelation. Nobody forced them. They had something. They made a decision. Some of them, I don't even know them. But they came across our broadcast one way or the other, through the television, through the internet. They had it and they make a decision. Without me knowing them, years after, they give testimony. Some of them will travel out of the country, we meet them when they know we are coming. Someone came and said, I just wanted to shake your hand. That's all. Travel for 6 hours just to come and shake hand with me. He said, what? He said, it's through you I knew what Christianity should be. And some other people come here, inside their bag, and now a ring there inside. Now it's okay, continue wearing. I didn't say you should not wear it. It's only don't wear it inside here. Walk according to your faith. If you don't see any reason to stop the earring, go and wear it. If not, you are a hypocrite. You are just doing follow, and God will never accept that type of faith. It is better, I don't understand God. Let me understand. But you must also have a heart that is ready to obey when God gives you understanding. If not, the same God will come and tell you, say, go on, sister, paint yourself. My daughter, paint yourself. My daughter, wear the earring. Put the attachment. Then he will go to another one again and say, I warned you, don't put that thing on. But another one, he said, doesn't matter. Go ahead. So that when I say salvation is not for all, we can understand. Salvation is not for all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so in Daniel chapter 9, amen, the angel came to Daniel and said, 490 years, that is the 70 weeks. 490 years is determined upon your people to fulfill six things. 490 years. And he gave them when the agenda will begin. We have spoken all that. Go and get the tapes and listen to them. 490 years. And he told them that by the time it comes to a certain number of years, from the time they released them from the Babylonian captivity, count 69 weeks. I told you what will happen. 69 weeks is 69 times 7. Within the period of 483 years, period, this and this and this will happen. But the time is exactly 483 years from the time you are released from the Babylonian captivity to go back to your land by a decree. And that decree was given in BC 445 by Artaxerxes that released them to go. It's there in history. Every theologian knows this. He said the Messiah will be cut off after the 69th week. So, if they were studying their books, by the time a man came and said he's the Messiah, he's walking in the street of Israel, they would have just stayed and said, wait, let's calculate and see. They would have known. But one interesting thing is that God himself purposely blinding them. It's another mystery. And the reason he blinded them, he caused them to reject him. He caused them to reject Jesus. And because there is another mystery, the rest of the world have to come and be part of that agenda. He had me in mind, I'm not a Jew. The only way we come in is to suspend from 69th week. He stopped. And the remaining 1 week, which is 7 years, to complete the agenda with Israel. So there is a period between the 69th week and the 70th week. It is that period that is the Gentile, or what the Bible calls the fullness of the Gentile. Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, he said, blindness in part has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. Hallelujah. And the fullness of the Gentile is that period between the 69th week and the 70th week. Praise the Lord. That gap that he suspended dealing with Israel, and that gap is on now. And it will end with the rapture. And after the rapture takes place, then the remaining last 7 years, he will turn again and reveal himself to Israel. Their eyes will open again, and they will see that the person they crucified was actually their Messiah. And the Bible says so. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, but before we come to that last week, the one that concerns us now, the last 1 week does not concern us. For now, hallelujah, he is gathering his people, and we saw all the parables that point to it in the Bible. Within this period is what is known as the seven church ages, broken down into seven different dispensations. Amen. It is within this same period that the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, hallelujah, those seven stars in the right hand of Jesus Christ, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 16, that is interpreted in verse 20 as the seven candlesticks and the seven stars. The seven stars are the angels, the messenger, the angel to the seven churches, and the candlestand, the candlesticks are the seven churches. And they were figuratively put there. There were churches in Asia Minor around Turkey area. But there were conditions in those seven churches that was going to reflect a condition of seven different periods that the church will go through before the rapture. And each of those church ages had a star messenger for that age that bear the light for the bride in that age to follow. And when you refuse to follow, hallelujah, you are finished. It's because you are not part of the agenda. For remember, there is a book of life. And there are names written there. If your name is in the book of life, can I see your hand there? Eh? Your name is in the book of life? Oh, can you stand up if your name is in the book of life? If your name is not there, sit down. Count how many people are sitting down. Drive all of them to go home. You are wasting your time here. Everybody, your name is written in the book of life. Oh, sit down like princes and kings and the rulers of this world. Praise the Lord. How do you know your name is in the book of life? How do you know?
Because I have repented and received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior.
Clap your hands for Jesus. When was your name written in the book of life?
My name was written in the book of life even from the day I was born. And now, as
the day your mama born you, and now they wrote your name in the book of life.
And now, as I had received water baptism as well.
You clap for yourself. Only you. Clap for yourself. Very well. Let this sister answer you. She will tell you now. Now, contender she be. Wait, sit down first. Now, ABC question. I will ask you the deep one. Ask you the deep one. Who again? Which sister? Okay, listen now. See, everybody go answer him now. Everybody in the church, listen. When was your name written in the book of life? See what they are saying. See, everybody say it. When?
From the foundation of the world.
According to the Bible, your name was written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Even before Adam and Eve were created. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And because your name is written in the book of life, that's why the Bible says the foundation of God standeth having this seed. He said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, glory be to God. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. How many people belong to him?
I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad
I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus.
Hallelujah. I belong to Jesus. Why do you think while you were yet a sinner, he died for you? What is redeemed? You are not redeemed the day you gave your life to Christ. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The price for our redemption was paid 2,000 years ago. I hear the Savior sing. Oh,
thy strength in his song. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy only God.
Hallelujah.
At the cross,
where I first saw the light,
and the body of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all day.
They ask me why I'm happy,
so I just tell them why. Because my sins are gone.
Oh yes. I went out.
Mentioned the seed of the woman, Christ immediately made a way, and Jesus can come in verse 14. Verse 6 of John chapter 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah! There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. Hallelujah! He took all my bodies and nailed them on the cross on Calvary. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Down at the cross, where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the Lord applied. Glory to glory to his name.
Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Dear to my heart was the blood of love.
Hallelujah.
Glory to his name.
Before he gave up the ghost on the cross of Calvary, he shouted, it is who the Son of Man sets free. Free indeed. We can't be in bondage again. We can't be in bondage again. Tell your neighbor, no more bondage. Witches and wizards cannot put in bondage again. Tell your neighbor. Foundational cause, can you put in bondage again? Tell your neighbor, Jesus said it is finished. Tell four people, Jesus said it is finished. Jesus said it is finished. Finished. We are free. That's why we are here. We are here. Hallelujah. The Bible says when you come to Christ, you come to Mount Zion. And upon Mount Zion, what will happen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only deliverance, and what? Holiness is a requirement of Mount Zion. Then the sons and daughters of Jacob will do what? Possess your possession. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered a violent, and the violent taken it by force. And we are here to possess our possession. To possess our possession. I can't be in bondage again. We can't be in bondage again. Can't be in bondage again. Can't be in bondage again. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.